Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, your Schofield Bible, page 1219. We'll be reading verses 16 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 18, page 1219. We'll read these verses in unison. And we'll stand together, please, for the reading of the Scriptures. And let's begin together, please, there with verse 16. Ready? For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my record then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And let's pray. And Father, bless the service tonight in a very special way. This is your word. It's the truth, and we need it. And bless with thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir, and those who are in charge of the music today, Brother Bordway and Mrs. Colston. I recognize the purpose of the special music, much of it today, and I'm so grateful. I want to speak tonight, and I really need a lot of time tonight to preach, but I'm not going to take as much as I would have taken if I had taken more than I'm going to take. And that's a promise. But I want to speak tonight on the subject, why do good anyhow? Why do good anyhow? The sermon I'm going to preach tonight is the first part will be a retracing a little bit of another sermon that I preached here, and then I want to add something to it, a little review, and then add a little extra. Retracing is not a good word, but somewhat a review. And everybody's listening now. No talking back here. No talking. Young people, hey, no talking. Everybody looking right this way. We're at church now and haven't got time. You have to call you down. Let's everybody look. Son, look right this way now. Hey, son, hey. We're having preaching here. Let's look right this way. Unless you'd misbehaved, I wouldn't have had to call you down. But I want you to listen now. You don't have much time, and I want you to follow me. And everybody listening as I speak. I don't know, but I may bring this message across the country. I'm not sure, but I think I'll bring something like it across the country. And I'll have to, of course, add to it because I would not have the time tonight that I'll have when I'm preaching elsewhere. But I want you to follow me. I'm going to take the first part of the message to bring you to some observations and some statements that are worthy, I think. And I think you'll find some philosophy of the Christian life here in a way that you've never heard it before. I mean that. Father, bless the message tonight. Please help me. I know it's late, but good night. We need to hear from God tonight. And so may we so do. In Jesus' name, amen. God wants us to do good. God wants us to do good. Now, I'm using the word good in a proper way. God wants us to do good things. God wants us to do good deeds. God wants us to do good. To entice us to do good, God punishes us for not doing good. That's an enticement to help us to do good. And he reminds us in the Bible of that punishment. For example, in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. What is that? That's God reminding us that we're supposed to do good. Reminding us that if we do not do good, punishment will be inevitable. For example, in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What is God doing? God is using the motivation of fear, the motivation of punishment. He's telling us, if you don't trust me as Savior, then you'll be on my left hand someday, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Concerning salvation, God reminds us that uses the motivation of punishment. Revelation 20:15, those not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. You don't hear much about it much anymore, because even in fundamental churches it doesn't fit in our beautiful buildings and our educated clergy. But hell is still burning tonight, like it always has been. And hell is still hot. We don't say much about it, but it's still there. We minimize it, but it's still there. If you don't get born again, you're going to go to hell. And you go to hell, you'll burn forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. You say, I can't understand that God did so. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What am I saying? I'm saying that God wants us to do good. Now listen to me. I'm saying that God wants us to do good. And in an effort to encourage us and motivate us to do good, God punishes those who do not do good, and the not doing of good. And God reminds us in this book of the punishment that will come upon those that do not do good. And this, by the way, is good. And it's a good reason to do good. I'm for it. I'm for it with all my heart. I believe the curse of this generation is the courtroom, where a bunch of liberal judges who went to a bunch of liberal colleges and sat at the feet of a bunch of pink and red teachers stand up and punish us for spanking our kids. Hell won't be too hot for that kind of a judge. I'll guarantee you, you take away the fear of punishment in the lives of our children, and the children will they'll go where they're going today. And this godless generation that talks about spanking children and obeying God's word as being corporal punishment is going to stand one day before God Almighty and give an account for the fact that we've laughed and scorned and rejected the direct commands of God's blessed book. I'm saying that this is good. Punishment, the fear of punishment is a good reason to serve God. I don't want God to punish me, and that's a good reason to serve Him. But there's a better reason. And that better reason is to do good, because God rewards those who do good. I'm not discounting the first. The first is important. But there's a better reason for doing good. There's a better motive for doing good. And that motive is that God rewards those who do good. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted for the river waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is God saying here? God is saying, do good, because I reward those that do good. That's what it means in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God gives people good things for doing good. That's what it means in Malachi 3:8 and 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord of hosts. And he said, prove me now, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What is God saying? God's saying, you tithe, I'll bless you for it. He's saying, you serve me, I'll bless you for it. You come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And that's a wonderful reason for doing good. In fact, it is a better reason for doing good than fear of punishment. But there is a better reason for doing good than that. And that better reason for doing good than being rewarded with temporal blessings is the motivation of eternal rewards. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And if it does not turn out right here by doing good, it will turn out right there. Payday is going to come. Rewarding time is going to come. And it's true when Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for all those that love His appearing. And that's a better reason still for serving God and for doing good. Payday is going to come. That's what it means when it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward
in heaven. Brother or sister, if you've got to suffer here, it won't be but 60, 70, 80 years, maybe 60, 70, 80 years. We've got eternity to get our rewards. We've got forever to get rewarded for doing good. You wonder sometimes why people that do bad things drive bigger cars than those of us who do try to live right. You wonder why they live in the nice houses. Let them enjoy them. Hey, young folks, look at me while I'm preaching. That's enough talking. Son, you keep your eyes focused right on me the rest of this sermon. You need to hear what I'm saying. You're not so hot but what you don't need it to. Look at me, son. I'll point you out next time, have you stand up, and then you can look. We're not going to behave like that in this church. Now you listen to me. There was a day when God's people thought about the sweet by and by as being worth having to suffer right now. Bible says that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be revealed, the glory which shall be revealed in us. We got a materialism that is in this church that needs to come to the altar tonight and get right with God. We've got young people that want to, the biggest goal in life is to make some money and build a nice house and have a good salary. And not concerned in the least about things of God. Not concerned about spiritual matters. I want to tell you something. I've got a whole eternity to live in a mansion someday. I've got all eternity to have a live it up and drive big cars and be wealthy. All eternity. I was thinking a while ago, for 28 years, I've not been to you what one of these other pastors you may have called could have been, but I'll guarantee you one thing. Not a one of them could have worked as hard as I've worked. I'll guarantee you that. I've given my soul life night by day and by night. Why? I've got time to enjoy it when I get there. People think I'm crazy because I never dip in that swimming pool in our backyard. I never have been in the thing. If I ever use it, I'll use it for baptizing. But I'm not against it, but I've got all eternity to have fun. I mean, in heaven, there'll be no sinners going to hell, but there's sinners going to hell down here, and somebody ought to care. In heaven, there'll be no broken homes. But we have broken homes down here, and somebody's got to care. In heaven, there'll be no broken hearts. And young ladies pregnant before they get married, and young men on dope. But they're down here, and somebody's got to care. You wait till I get to heaven, Buster. You're going to see me have it. I'm going to play golf every morning. I'm not against playing golf, but I'll tell you what. Thank God there is a place where God will reward us. I want to hear Him say, well done. That's a great reason to do good. It's better than doing good because of temporal rewards. It's better than doing good because of fear of punishment. But there's still a better. That is what our text says tonight. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. What does that mean? Without a reward. The reward that exceeds all the others is the reward of no reward. Just the peace of knowing I did right. Have you ever stood by yourself, or have you ever had enough guts to stand by yourself? Have you ever stood up by yourself and said, this is right to do and that is wrong to do? I don't care if everybody does wrong. I am going to do what I think is right. Let me tell you something, Buster. That beats an awful lot a few temporal rewards. When you stand alone and you do that which is right before God and you do that which you ought to do, and you stand there and tears roll down your cheeks because folks don't understand, and folks turn their back on you and make fun of you, but down inside your soul there's a sweet peace that God gives you. I have done right. I need no other reward because the doing of right is all reward I need. You
have learned what it is to serve God. Reward of no reward. Just the peace of knowing I did right. I've got illustration after illustration I was going to use tonight. I will not have time. But there have been a few times in my life when I was in the army and they'd have a drinking party and everybody would drink but me. When I was in the army and was a pitcher on the softball championship and all-star softball team, they had a celebration and everybody drank wine but me. When I was pitcher on a semi-professional softball team when they were playing for the state championship in Dallas, Texas, 3,000 teams were playing for the championship. They announced they were going to have the game on a Sunday night. And I believe in going to church on Sunday night. I don't care what game it is. I believe that the Christians that play in the Super Bowl ought to stay home and go to church. Did you hear what I said? I think the Christians on the football teams that stay in the football, I think they ought to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. They can work the game and okay if they can't. Fool you on the Super Bowl. Let me tell you something, brother. The real Super Bowl is the battle for right in this old world. I remember that night when I walked in my church. The whole softball team lined up out in front with the uniforms on, making one last chance, one last pitch or effort to get me to come and pitch. I was the only pitcher they had. Only chance they had was if I would pitch. They begged me and then they cursed me. I walked in my church and my mama squeezed my hand and said, I'm proud. And I knew I'd done what was right to do. I didn't have to have any reward. I knew the reward of no reward. The peace of doing right. Without even going into it much that night, we were having our senior day when I graduated from high school. My best friend Richard Newton and I double-dated with each other. We went to baccalaureate service that morning in a church. Had lunch with our dates. Just Richard and I and Peggy Render, my date, and B. Tate, his date. And then after that, we went to Margaret Mary Mayer's house for an open house that afternoon, on Sunday afternoon. And then after that, it was about 4 o'clock, and Richard said, Jack, what do we do tonight? I said, what do you mean? He said, "What we ought to go to nightclub, shouldn't we? Everybody else does on graduation night. And I want to tell you something. You seniors that had your little parties after graduation last year, you're going to face God for it. What's wrong with a bunch of young folks standing up and saying, I don't drink, I have nothing to do with it, and I won't come? Well, you say folks might not like me. Well, bless God, that crowd shouldn't like you a great deal anyway. Do right! Well, Dr. Bob Jones used to say, do right! Do right! I can hear him now as he cuffed his hand around his mouth and said, do right! Do right! Do right! If the stars fall, do right! You don't get any reward, it's reward itself. War. I remember I said, Richard, you know better than that. This is Sunday night. We're supposed to go to church. And he said, Jack, we only graduated one time. But I said, Richard, it's Sunday night. We ought to go to church. And my date looked over. Peggy looked over to me and she said, Jack, what in the world are you talking about? I said, Peggy, you know better. You and I have grown up in the same church together. We've been in the same junior high department and high school department. And you always there Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know that. This is church night. But she said, Jack, you only graduate one time in a lifetime from high school, and everybody goes to a nightclub on graduation night. And I said, no, everybody doesn't. I am not going. You say, what are you, some kind of a stick in the mud? You'd probably think I am. And I think you're a coward. And Richard said, the least we can do is go to a drive-in movie. And I said, now, Richard and Peggy and B, you may as well know now, I'm going to church. Now you go to church with me or you take me home and I'll go to church. And they took me home and I called Mrs. Render and told her I was not responsible for Peggy anymore because
They were going to a movie. They went to a movie that night, and I went to church. Tonight, Richard Newton has for all these years made his living making movies in Hollywood. And I, for all these years, have made my living in church. That night, we did not know it, but we chose our lifetime, our profession that night. You don't know, young people. You don't know. That night you make a decision to do something or not to do it, you don't realize what an effect it's going to have on your entire life. The reward of no reward. God wants us to do good. So God says, I want to, as an incentive, an enticement to do good, I want you to do good because I punish you if you don't. But there's a better reason to do good than that. That's because of reward you if you do. But there's a better reason to do good than that. And that is because of eternal rewards. But there's a better reason to do good than that. Because of no rewards. But the reward of no reward of knowing you've done good and done right. What a reason to do right. But there's a better reason. And that better reason is to please Him. Just to please Him. When I walked in that night, church was already started. Just started. My mama was sitting back here. And I walked in that night and just walked up and sat down beside my mama who was sitting alone. She said, "Son, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Mama, I'm always here." And she reached over and put her arms around me and she said, "I'm so proud of you." Bless her heart, she wrote a little note up to the pastor. And Brother Sizemore got up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a young man here tonight who's a senior in high school. All the rest of the high school students were out yonder in nightclubs and movies, and his crowd went to a movie, but he came tonight. And we're proud of him." He said, "I want Jack Hiles to stand." And I stood, and my church gave me an ovation because I came. I pleased my mama. I pleased my preacher. And I want to tell you something. There are a heap of worse reasons to do good than to please your mama and to please your preacher. I won't tell you. Standing above the incentive of fearing punishment. Standing above the incentive of rewarding rewards on earth. Standing above the incentive of eternal rewards. Standing above the incentive of no reward but the peace and joy of doing right is the incentive of pleasing Him. I relived an awful lot tonight during those slides. We've laughed an awful lot. But there's some things you don't know about. And some things you'll never know about. And some things nobody in this world would ever know about. Through these years. I decided years ago I was going to try to do what I thought was right to do. And I may have made some mistakes and I may have failed to always do it, but as best I know how, I've always tried to do what was right to do. I want to please Him. I want Him pleased with me. I had to take my stand. And in 24 hours, I lost the college where I attended. Because I won't support a school that doesn't believe this book. I'm not going to pay a liberal professor's salary. I'm not going to do it. And I said I wouldn't. And they said, "You'll do it, or you'll lose it all." I said, I'm not trying to lose it, not to lose it. I'm trying to do what's right. The school I attended made me unwelcome on their platform. Church I attended, most of the people became a little bit ashamed of my position and my stand. My college friends parted company with me.
the darkest, one of the two or three darkest hours of my life. I walked and stayed awake all night. And I walked and I walked and I said, I wonder if I'll ever preach again. And I felt a touch on my arm. And I looked up and I thought I saw hands that had scars in them. And I heard a voice saying, welcome outside the camp. Sailors, you're going to wish when you faced Jesus you'd stood for him on that base up there.
Hammond Baptist High School students, you're going to wish when you look at Jesus face to face, and you will look at Jesus face to face.
You're going to wish you'd stood for him at Hammond Baptist High School. There's the sweet reward of pleasing him, and I want to go further on that, but I must hasten. But that's not the best reason.
I said a good reason to do good is fear of punishment, but that's not the best reason. A better reason is rewarding of good, but that's not the best reason. A better reason is eternal rewards, but that's not the best reason. A better reason is the reward of no reward, the peace and joy and satisfaction of having done right, but that's not the best reason.
I said to please him is a better reason, but that's not the best reason. There's a better, and that's to give him glory. All I've done these years has been through his power. All that I am is because of him. All that I have is because of him. And I want to glorify him with my life. I remember 21 years ago tonight, our family had just gotten in. The kids were all little then. 21 years ago tonight, we came in the house and some of the folks had gotten together in the church and made a money tree. And they'd gone inside our house and put a money tree there, and they'd put dollar bills and fives and tens and twenties on that money tree. I planted the money tree in the yard. Wanted to grow some more. Never bloomed. But I remember that there was a note with each gift. We sat there and we read those notes, and I read one, and it was from a little lady in our church. I'll never forget it. I remember the night that over the north side of Hammond, she called me on the phone. She said, my husband's going to kill me. He's got his gun. She said, he's going to kill me. She said, can you do anything? I got in my car and drove over the north side of Hammond, and that man had his gun pointed at his wife's head, and I got between him and between his wife and that gun. I said, if you kill your wife, you'll kill me first. And I stood between her and her own murder, little children crying over here beside her, and other things, memories that stack up in a preacher's life. I could write a book on memories of this week alone, the last 7 days. I could write a book on the blessedness of the last week alone. But I read that letter to the family, and she said, Dear Brother Hiles, our family has met. And we wanted to know what to write and what to say in this little note. So she said, my children and I voted, and this is what we voted to say. We voted to say that we believe that for 7 years you walked among us as Jesus would have walked if he had been pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I said, that's not true, but that's what I hope. I hope sometime in these 28 years you've gotten a glimpse of him. I hope sometime in these 28 years you've seen a little bit of his love. I hope sometime in these 28 years you've seen a little bit of his forgiveness. I hope sometimes, occasionally in these 28 years, the veil of flesh and human weakness has been pulled back. You've gotten a touch of what it looks like. I want to honor him. And that's a holy reason for doing good. But that's not the best reason for doing good. You say, preacher, what's the very best reason? I come to it now. The best reason to do good is because I love him. Did you know every other reason has selfishness in it?
If I do good because I don't want to be punished, that's a good enough reason, but I'm doing it selfishly. If I do good because I want a reward, that's a good enough reason. God's not displeased with it, but that has selfishness in it. If I'm willing not to have any earthly rewards and wait and get my rewards in heaven, that's a good reason for doing good, but that still has selfishness in it because I'll get them someday. But if I do it for no reward at all, but for the peace of knowing I do good, that's still selfishness because I'm enjoying that peace. If I do it to please Him, that's selfishness because I want Him to know I pleased Him. But it's still good. If I do it to give Him glory, I want Him to hear me doing it. When I say glory to God, I want Him to know where it came from. But if I just do it because I love Him, there's no selfishness there. It's sort of like a little child. There comes a time when God gives you a little child. And I remember when our kids were first born, when each one was born, about a year old, I'd take him on a little trip of the house. And we didn't rearrange our furniture in our house. Didn't have to. The kids did it for us. But we didn't take the vases and put them beyond their reach. I took them on a conducted tour of the house. And I walked up to under the vase, and I'd say to Becky, the oldest, I'd say, "No, no, no, no." And she'd reach out and touch it, and I'd slap her little hand. I'd say, "No, no, no, no." She'd reach out and touch it. I'd slap her hand. She'd say, "No." I'd say, "No, no, no, no." And she'd do like that and say, "No, no, 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 no." And we went through the house and did and looked at all the no-nos. And do you know why she didn't touch that vase? Because she knew that was going to come. And a child, that's the first obedience a child has. But there comes time when you say to the child, "Who got my candy up here in my? Come on, where are you? Who got my baby Ruth is up here this morning? No, I only ate one little bite of it. The rest of it I put right in there." You say to it, "I may have eaten it this afternoon." Anyway, we'd say to the children, "Now, Becky, if you do good, you can have this candy." That's the way we read our children, and you did yours. And the time came, we'd say, "We'll take you to the zoo if you'll be a good girl all week." And then the time came when they got promoted to a better incentive. They'd do something real good, and we'd say, "I'm so proud of you. Oh, my. I'm so proud." "Are you really proud?" "Oh, you are a wonderful girl. My, my, my." "Thank you." You see, that was a promotion in the reason to do good. But as the years came, Becky and Linda were sitting with me at breakfast one morning a year or so ago. And they said, "Dad, before you got here, we were talking about it. They said, if the day comes when we do not agree with your standards, we both agreed we'd live by yours instead of ours. That's because they love me. There's no reward to that. There's no candy for that. There's no spanking if they don't. They're adults now, have their own children. That's what you call love." Now, I want to make some observations, and I'm skipping so much here, I don't know what I'm touching, really. I want to make four observations. Observation number one, don't trade one of these for another. Now, here's what happens in Christianity, and I wish I had an hour on this point right here. In Christianity, we somehow think you're supposed to trade one for the next one. No, you keep all of them. You keep all of them. You see, you don't substitute. When you get to the place where you serve God for rewards, you don't quit serving Him for fear of punishment. And don't you quit serving Him for fear of punishment. If you get the place where you serve Him because you love Him, you keep those other six under there as spare tires in case you need one. Because there may come a day when your love is a little bit cold,
And you may have to do good because of the joy of doing good.
But the day may come when you won't have that joy. And you may have to do good because you know you've got to face God someday. And He's going to reward you according to the deeds done in the body.
But there may come a day when you won't even think about that future judgment. And you're going to have to do good because you're scared to death that God will kill you in a car wreck if you do bad. Or don't do good. Listen. That's what happens to Christian people. We grow to the place to where we think that everybody's supposed to do good for our reason. Now, folks, there are all ages of Christians in this room tonight. All spiritual degrees of spiritual maturity.
There are some people, I'll say to you get right with God or God's going to punish you.
And they'll get right with God. And I should say that. There are other people I can say to you, you just do good because you love Him. And you understand that. But don't trade one for another or you will outgrow usefulness. Observation number two. Don't lose patience with those beneath your level. America's full of Pharisees calling themselves theologians. Tonight, sitting behind desks in compromising Bible institutes, Bible colleges, and seminaries across this nation. Looking down on some new Christian who comes to church because they're giving away a hamburger to the kids on the buses. I haven't said anything about this in a long time, but it's time it's said. Mr. Professor, there are some people that haven't been saved for 114 years like you have. And sitting in that same chair, drying up preachers like you have too. I want to make it very plain. For a child to get a balloon for coming on a bus, thank God for it. God uses the incentive method over and over again. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, I'll give you rest if you'll come to me. That's bribing them. Don't lose patience with those beneath your level. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18, somewhere in there, I think it's verse 16, he said, some preach Christ for contention. But he said, I thank God in all things that Christ is preached. He said, some have the holiest motives of preaching Christ. I thank God for that. He said, some have other motives that are not as holy as the others, but they have some holiness to them. And I thank God for that because Christ is preached. First balloon I ever owned, I got it at Sunday school. First hot dog I ever ate, I ate at Sunday school. And some of you Pharisees throw your phylacteries around. Well, shut up. Just shut up. I'm sick of you. You know why you're critical of that? Because you haven't got the time or the disposition to go over here in Chicago to some of these hell holes they call apartment houses. And see the conditions that some of those poor people live under, which they live. And see those little children don't even know who their daddy is. Thank God. Somebody will buy them a hamburger! But he said, well, if you're not sincere in doing it for God's glory, it's better not to do it. Now, where'd you find that? The Bible said God loveth a cheerful giver. It didn't say He hates a grouchy giver.
Well, it's just as, if you don't mean it, it's better not tithe. It's just as good not to tithe as it is to tithe and don't mean it.
Oh, shut up again. Silliest thing I ever heard of. You're supposed to obey whether you want to obey or not.
Well, I'm going to go 100 miles an hour home down Calumet Street because I'm not sincere in keeping a speed limit. Never have believed in that speed limit anyway. It's just as bad to break it as it is and as it is to keep it and not mean it. Well, I may as well kill my husband tonight. Just as bad to hate him as it is to kill him.
Now, show me a cemetery where they bury people that were hated to death.
You see, here's what happens. Now, folks, you listen to me. We grow in grace to the place to where we don't realize that there was a time when the only reason we serve God is because we're scared to death not to. Now, what you ought to realize is that now that you've grown to such a lofty position to where you serve Him for some other reason, what you ought to realize, there's some baby Christians here that's still serving God because they're scared not to. And bless God because they do. Don't lose patience with those beneath your level. Observation number 3, and I've got to come to a close. Use them all to motivate. I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy preaching on hell like I used to. When I was a kid preacher, I could have preached on hell every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And loved it. Because I had some folks I wanted to go there, and I wanted to rub it in their nose. I've grown in grace. There's nobody in this church I want to go to hell now. I'd like for a few of you to spend about 35 years in purgatory, but I wouldn't want any of you to go to hell. But the honest, simple truth is, it's not as easy to preach on hell as it used to be. You know why? Because I think I've grown a little bit. I think I've gotten to a place to where I'd rather serve God to get rewards than to prevent punishment. And I think I'd rather serve God to get heavenly rewards than earthly rewards. And I think I'd rather serve God just for the peace of serving Him and doing good than for any rewards at all. But I think I'd rather, beyond that, I'd rather do good just to please Him. And then I think beyond that, I'd rather do good to honor Him. And I think beyond that is the loftiest of all. I'd rather do good because I love Him. But I must not forget those that are still growing in grace. I must not forget those who are still doing good because they want to honor Him. And I must not forget those who are still doing good because they want to please Him. And I must not forget those that are still doing good who've grown to the place to where they do good because they just want the peace of doing right. And I must not forget those who are still doing good because they want eternal rewards. And I must not forget those who are still doing good because they want earthly rewards. And I must not forget those who are still doing good because they're afraid to do bad. And I must use every one of these 7 motivations to motivate my people. When I preach on hell, some of you cringe a little bit. And that's sort of normal because that's not what appeals to you anymore to do good. But somebody besides you, that's their motivation for doing good. And then when I preach on the fact that if you'll tithe, God will bless you, as He says He would. Some of you say, that's elementary. That's not the real, not the best reason. No, it's not the reason. There's somebody beside you that's still doing it because of that, and that's a good reason to do it. I'm simply saying that in all different areas of growth, whether it's doing good not to be punished, or doing good to get earthly rewards, or doing good to get heavenly rewards, or doing good for the satisfaction of doing good, or doing good to please God, or doing good to honor Him, or doing good just because you love Him. Every reason is a valid reason. And aren't you glad that God gives us some room to grow in grace along the way? God gives us a place we can rise a little bit higher and do good for a loftier reason. Observation number 4. Keep on growing. Keep on growing. Where are you now? Don't be satisfied with the level where you're living tonight. Why are you doing good? Are you doing good because you're afraid to do bad? Because God will punish you? That's splendid. But I want you to be thinking about that one, that next step. I want you to be thinking about someday transferring the doing of good because you're afraid to do bad or not do good up to the place to where you do good because of the positive rewards that God gives you, the peace, the joy, the satisfaction. Are you there tonight? Is that why you're doing good? I'd like to ask you to consider doing good, even if you don't get any earthly rewards for it. Because there's going to be a time when Jesus will reward us at the judgment seat of Christ. And great is our reward in heaven. Are you there? If that's where you are tonight, I'd like you to consider doing good, even if there's no reward in heaven at all. Just because doing good carries its own reward. Is that where you are tonight?
I'd like to consider you to think about a promotion tonight. To doing good just to please the Savior. You want to please Him. You want to hear Him say someday, well done. Is that where you are tonight? I'd like to recommend the next step for you. I'd like you to do good because doing good gives glory and honor to our Lord. Is that where you are tonight? I'd like to recommend to you that you consider growing in grace until you can do good just because you love Him. Just because you love Him. Father, bless the message tonight.